All right, welcome back to another episode of the Edible Valley Podcast, where we go out and we explore the food culture of the Comox Valley and this wonderful culinary destination of Vancouver Island. I am Chef Jonathan Fraser, and once again, as always, I'm here with
Darren Howlett. Hi. So John, it's been a while since we've been able to just sit down, you and I, and talk about what's going on in food.
And I'm kind of sitting here wondering, where do we even start from? Because so much has really happened in the valley and with food in general. I think
in our lives, I think a lot, there's just been a ton of things that have happened in the last few, like 2 months since we did one of these.
Yeah. So, well, let's start with something that's going to be happening tonight, but of course people won't be hearing about it for a few days.
Right.
We're starting our first Edible Valley cocktail night.
Right. Yeah. We're going to do a little cocktail night. I mean, I think it's fantastic. This stemmed from, I don't know where it stemmed from on your end. I don't know if you had talked to Kirsten about it, but Kirsten and I have been talking about it just because I come from a bar background. I've worked high end, low end, all over the place in bars. And actually, that's how I came to Atlas. That's how I first came to meet you. There was quite a while there where I really was pushing for getting back into cocktail culture, like not the 90s martini culture, but like true old, you know, the 1920s, 30s, 40s cocktail culture.
And
Kirsten and I just got to talking one night that was something that she was really interested in. And we just sort of left it at that, hey, why don't we get together and really dig deep and get into some really interesting cocktails. And we're not just talking about basic mixology. We're talking about making our own tonics from scratch, making all of our own elixirs, making all of our own flavors, getting into processes, burning, pickling, all different bottling, everything, getting into a lot of different flavor components. And she sort of ran with it. And then here we are.
And it was me going, that's it. We're going to have an Edible Valley a cocktail night. And for me, it's over the last little while, I think cocktails are becoming trendy again and people are getting into it. There's a lot of great, excellent bars that are opening up and serving.
Things went forward a giant leap a little while ago where that bridge happened where we went from everybody being okay with just what you could order from the distributor and what you could buy from your liquor store to all of a sudden people are getting into, much like food, people are getting into artisanal products. People are getting into handmade, handcrafted, locally sourced, and really exploring what can be done. You know, this weekend went out looking for local botanicals to make some aromatic, aromatics for these cocktails. You know, just going well above and beyond and starting to really explore it all over again. I'm loving it. I think it's fantastic.
Well, and we've had a lot of great things happen in this town. Like,
yeah,
from liquor end, we've had some great interviews here.
Right.
And,
yeah.
You know, like Wayward's Come, Shelter Points out there. You know, there are some harder alcohols around there to play with. Hornby Island has the gin.
Yeah.
You know, there's some great flavors out here.
And for sure.
And then take all the abundance of food we have.
Right.
And just mix those and make those combinations and experiment, right?
So. Absolutely. I'm really looking forward to it. And I know that obviously here we are talking about it at a time when, by the time anybody hears about this, it's going to be long past. But I really like the idea that this sort of first one's for us and our sort of circle of friends. And just to get some trying some things out. But I like the idea of continuing this and involving some of the listeners even to come on out and we're going to play around with what, you know, really stretch our muscles and see what can be done with
do some different flavors.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm excited for it. So I love the fact that we've adopted this new little aspect of Edible Valley.
So now we've got the pop-up dinners, which we are working on right now.
Yeah, we've got another one coming up.
We've been chatting with Sarah at Prontissima Pasta. So she is gung-ho and trying to help us put together another one because the last one we did at her house.
Yeah, and she said she could actually she's sort of in charge of getting all of the details or sort of gathered now, and I think she said she could put together three for us from tomorrow, but We're zeroing in on one in Comox, and that'll be, about a month or so from now. By the time this airs, it'll be within that month.
Yeah, it'll be nice. And so it's going to be a little bit of change. I know we'll be partnering with, one of the people that'll be at the cocktail night who's actually doing the food,
right?
Which is Ivan,
right?
Ivan Chocolate Truffles.
Yeah.
So he's doing the food at my house right now.
We're
having all the
cocktails. For the cocktail night.
So yeah. I know he's doing some pizzas and some zucchini, baked zucchini. So.
Oh wow! Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, that's fantastic. I'm really happy with a lot of the things that are going on. Not to mention the fact that even though we haven't had a chance to sit down, we've got, just the two of us, we've had some fantastic guests in the last little while.
Oh yeah, let's go into a little bit about that.
Yeah.
Can you remind me? No.
No, we have. As of this, we've just talked with Ben Zion from the Hub, and we just talked with Michelle from Hazelmere Farms, but then... in the last little while, we had Connie Earle
was in talking about BC wines and how we have some amazing red wines as well as beautiful white wines.
Absolutely.
And we got to sample. That was
fun. Yeah, that was great. I'm loving the sampling, you know. And then Tony Dunn, backyard farmer, not to be outdone, she brought a zucchini for us to sample.
It was great.
By the way, that zucchini is now just made into a batch of horseradish zucchini relish. Yeah, I know. I was like, I've got to do something with the zucchini to keep me interested, because zucchini is a really played out flavor in my house.
Right.
And then when I was like, oh, horseradish. I like relishes, but a nice spicy one like that.
No, that sounds good.
Yeah. So I'm ready to use it as of tomorrow.
Brilliant.
So we'll see. Yeah, it'll have added that.
It's zucchini season, so yeah. Tony was definitely in there in the mark with boom, here's the first zucchini. I know I went to my parents today and the first thing my dad, as usual, have some zucchini.
Right.
So he was like, you should make fritters out of it and give me a great recipe about grating them and straining them and getting all the moisture out of there and then tossing them.
Yeah, that's a fantastic idea. So. Yeah. Yeah. But
we're getting off topic.
We are getting off topic. All I was getting to is just that we've had some great guests. We've had some great conversations.
Definitely.
And I've definitely, the whole purpose of this show for me is not just to spread the word and not just to talk about food and the food culture, which I'm passionately in love with. But it's also to find my creativity, right? To be inspired, you know? And that's what I've been looking for. I love food. I've grown up in food my entire life. But yeah, this last few weeks, I just became re-inspired by everything around the valley all over again.
I've been having that same feeling. Like, we had Doug Smith in.
Doug Smith. Fantastic. My kids love him. My kids don't stop talking about him.
Really?
I don't know why. He made such an impact on them.
He brought cheese.
Yeah, it's true. he brought some fantastic cheese.
And he got my head spinning about that buffalo yogurt.
Right, yeah.
Which is fabulous.
Absolutely.
I had a whole bunch of other ideas and a whole bunch of yogurt ideas came into my head just from that one little meeting. So.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. Yeah, we ended up using it in mostly as salad dressings. We did some yogurt, dill, a little lemon. Mm-hmm. Toss some fresh, like chilled potatoes. Did that. Had nice, like a really like super fresh potato salad. Just like made that moment ready to eat that moment. You know, it wouldn't have lasted more than an hour or two after that specialness of it would have been gone. It was fantastic. And then, we've done a couple of things like that with it. It was great. Absolutely great.
I'm just thinking back here. It's like, I think it's been quite a while since we got a chance to sit down and chat here.
Because
I'm thinking that we had Alan from Tannadice Farm back in again to chat with.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm thinking the last time we got to chat with, I don't even think we'd talked to Arzina or Carmen from Eat More Sprouts. So it's been
it's been quite a while.
Quite a few episodes.
We've talked to some amazing people. So,
which has been really exciting.
So. Yeah, exactly. And that's what I'm saying. There is that inspiration. So for me, I sort of translated that. I came up with a mini challenge for myself. I know that my big things this year are, you know, sausage making and foraging. Those are my two goals to sort of conquer this year. And foraging has really become a thing for me. So the kids and I went out a little while ago and we just went to pick some berries just off the side of the road kind of thing. And I didn't know necessarily what I was going to do, but there was just this plentiful berries. Thought I'd grab them. Actually, we were at a swimming hole, with one of our private swimming holes that we don't tell anybody right. about where it is. And we never have ever seen anybody there.
And we don't want to tell. Yeah. Holes and yeah. be like, is it this one?
No. Yeah, yeah. So, and while we were there, the thimbleberries were out. So I had just that day, been at a garage sale and bought 94. It ended up being 94 canning jars for $5.
Wow.
Yeah. So I couldn't pass it up. And while we were there, there was just plentiful berries. So I went back and grabbed one of those jars, and we just filled a jar full. And of course, my mind started spinning. And so the challenge that I sort of put before myself was, I want to gather as much food that's around that's just free and turn it into food for this winter. Or food that I can share, or process it in some way,
mm-hmm.
and see is how cheap I can maintain that.
Right.
And I know it might sound a little crazy, so roadside berry picking obviously was a big deal. And then really quickly, while we were out there, the kids were having fun doing that, but they noticed somebody had dropped somebody had just essentially emptied a small bag of empty pop containers and beer containers. They were just lying around, and I had extra bags in the car. So I said, you know what? We should go get these.
Mm-hmm.
We should pick these up and take these. And then they said, oh, just put them in the garbage. And I was like, no, we recycle them. And I said, actually, if we take them to a recycling depot, they're used to recycling their mom to, the blue box outside.
Right.
Very, very recycling committed household, but they didn't realize that for pop cans and beer cans that you could get money for them if you took them to the recycling depot.
Ching ching.
Yeah, absolutely. So that quickly became the berry picking, also became collecting empties, because we were ended up in all these ditches picking thimbleberries
and pop cans.
which just love ditches. Thimbleberries grow anywhere you find a ditch, there's thimbleberries.
Yeah.
So we were in all these ditches, and of course they're finding all these empties. So, crazy enough as it sounds, I've done three batches of different pickled vegetables. Mm-hmm. I've done eight batches of jams. Kirsten, your lovely girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
She was one of the first people to jump up when I told her the challenge. I said I was hoping to find what free food is out there and turn it into food for other people. She offered up her cherry tree. I went and raided the cherry tree.
Mm-hmm.
And I've
that cherry tree too.
Yeah, I'm into eight batches of jams and like I said, various pickles, and I'm at cost neutral. So right. The money that I've found in empties has paid for the few ingredients that I've needed to pick up. And so yeah, I'm at $0 spent of all of this so far, and I'm still continuing this challenge throughout the summer. So I have a couple of places that I work at, of course, one's with you at Atlas, and I've told the staff, if anybody comes across, maybe somebody's just moved and they don't get to harvest their garden, or maybe somebody's about to move into a place and they're not ready to take one on, or there's a fruit tree that's going to get neglected. Let Darren. Me know.
So and you can email Darren at edible valley@gmail.com.
Absolutely. Email me. I'll be happy to come harvest it, and I will I'll come back with the finished product too, and share some of the bounty with you. Yeah, and again, it's just a challenge for myself. I want to see how far I can make, free food last. I want to taking in that bounty of the valley and seeing what I can do with it. So
I remember Brian McCormick.
Oh yeah.
When he was living next door,
yeah,
he did his what was he calling it? It was his scavengers, and he was scavenging all the apple trees from
this scavengers, clever crow. I'm sensing something.
Yeah. There's a thread there. But he would be riding his bike to Comox because he works as a chef at the Berwick,
right?
And I remember him collecting apples the whole way, and then we were making apple wine.
Oh wow!
I remember spending the afternoon at his place dropping apples in this old juicer,
yeah,
from when they owned the Bar None.
You're right.
And making apple wine out of it. I was like, this is genius. And I'm yeah. like, and I was just blown away with how many apples
it's insane
he had acquired.
It's insane how much. I agree. There's it was more like 3 years ago.
I hope I'm not going to get him in trouble here.
Like,
guy.
Yeah, three years ago, one of my mom's friends had said, that I had free just free to go to town on her apple tree. She wasn't going to take any of the apples. And in probably 20 minutes, I picked what I wanted for apples. I wasn't going to be greedy. But I had taken so many apples that I ended up that day, I went home and I made 12 apple pies. I know I'd just gotten into it. It was one of those things. I was like, you know what? I'm going to make an apple pie. Nope. I'm going to make 12 apple pies. And so I went and handed out half of them. Yeah. Actually, I remember Sandra being very upset that I didn't have one for her. I just didn't think that she'd want one.
Oh.
But she was very disheartened to hear that she wasn't on that list of people that got free apple pies that day. Yeah. And but same thing. It was, you know, there was free apples, and then I threw 6 apple pies in the freezer that went right into, you know, right into the next spring.
It's the time of year, right?
Yeah, so. Right. And so I've got tons of ideas for apples and tons of ideas for plums this year. I'm just waiting for those phone calls or
whatever. it's a good thing because we're in a bit of a drought here.
Yeah.
I keep bringing this up. But, you know, it's nice to know that we still have an abundance of food still growing
out
there.
It's true.
We still have some security in our food.
So. Absolutely. And you know, one of the other things that stemmed from this was that, or where this stemmed from was that food waste is really starting to bother me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's always been a bother, but it's really starting to become a thing for me. And like I said, a couple of weeks ago, it hit me enough that I didn't want to watch all this food going to waste. I'm watching it. Year after year, I've seen it go to waste.
Oh, yeah.
In so many of these great little spots that not a lot of people traffic. And so I just thought, you know what? I'm not going to let it go to waste this time. I'm going to put it to use. I'm going to do something with it. So. Yeah.
I love foraging. I love going out there and picking mushrooms. And
I cannot wait for mushroom season. I just went and bought a mushroom book. There's 2 more mushroom books at the airport that I'm about to buy, which is where I also work. And I've got them set aside there. And then I've also met through our network of people, this fantastic network of people. I've met 2 people now that have offered to hook me up with various mushroom foragers. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward that we'll come September to be jumping on that.
Our old host Blaine has always been my mushroom guide. And so we've spent a lot of times stumbling through the woods. And
I think he actually mentioned to me once about, you know, cultivating my own. And I'm absolutely interested at some point, but that's next step. I'm going to start foraging for them first and identifying them.
Baby steps.
Yeah. Before I start growing them all. But again, okay. So that's where I've been in food. And, I feel like I'm taking over the show. What else can we talk about? What else did we have that we wanted to discuss here?
Ooh, there's so many events have gone on.
We
had the Shellfish Festival, the Fish Festival.
My God, that just depleted the valley for like a month.
I know.
It feels like nobody could get their hands on shellfish for the last month.
Yeah. Well, and then, we've had the mussel closure. I shouldn't say that. They were redoing the plant for Salt Spring Island mussels, so they've been closed for a while. And they've just reopened, so I'm all excited.
And I mean,
that
and we're in the off season for oysters, and there's a lot of things going on, so it's not as plentiful, but it just comes at a time when, you know, I'm craving shellfish, and all of a sudden it just sort of dries up,
But it's all there, it's still coming back, so it's just I've been just working steady, so that's kind of my food thing.
Right.
I mean, a lot of people may have noticed that the Atlas has been closed on the Monday, Tuesdays for the last little while. We just hit staffing issues.
Yeah.
We couldn't find the right cook
to
help me out. So Trent's been in there full time, and we just decided that instead of stretching ourselves really thin going into the summer, we'd take an extra day off just to keep our sanity.
Protect the people that are keeping it going.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
We work enough hours that throwing an extra 2 days, we do have lives outside of...
Yeah, absolutely.
Of the cafe.
That's how this podcast happens, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So not that I've actually been able to find more time for myself. I've just been doing other things. So it's been good. So.
Yeah. And you know, something I wanted to mention really quickly... I feel like we're making more of a bit of a social media presence as things develop for us. Mm-hmm. I feel like the show is becoming a bit comfortable now. You know, it's we've really sort of found where we like it running and how we're going with it.
Mm-hmm.
And as that happens now, we're sort of drawing our attentions elsewhere to develop further. And I got to say, ever since you gave me the reins to the Twitter account, I know that you're still involved in it, but I've just been going crazy with it. And I'm loving it because I find that it's such instant communication. with everybody out there that might be interested in what we do.
Exactly.
But it's also great because we get to see who's actually listening and who's who. I mean, normally we have numbers.
Yeah.
And we don't get to know who's
the exact people are. So.
Yeah. And I'm loving it. I'm loving, I love being a little playful on it. And I love also just, again, showcasing the Valley. If you're not following us on Twitter, you should. It's just Edible Valley.
And all our tweets that we do show up on our Facebook page. So it's another way to check us out. Just come and check out our...
Yeah, I mean, nothing's ever going to get too heady there. I mean, we promote the Valley. We have fun with it. And sometimes we shine a little light on food causes that we believe in, but that's about it. We're never going to spam you, but you should be following our Twitter feed. It's fun. And if you're not, you should definitely be following us on Facebook.
Yeah. We would appreciate that.
Yeah.
And if you want to subscribe, check us out on our host site, which is at Podbean.
Right.
We're always looking for some subscribers or iTunes is definitely another good one. Come on and subscribe us just so we know who our listeners are. It helps us and shows us what we're talking about.
You know, it's funny. I mean, here we are preaching to the converted, but I have a ton of people that are in our daily routines. And I do say are because there's a lot of people that we work with, but there's a lot of people outside of that too. And I have a lot of people that say that, oh yeah, you know, I really support what you're doing. I love what you guys are doing, but I never get around to listening to the show. And I always say, you know, that the episodes are only about 20 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
And you can play them whenever. Like you can, that's the beauty of Podbean and podcasts in general. It's you choose when to listen to the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I know that anybody that's listening to this is already aware of how podcasts work, but just trying to convince coworkers and friends that while you're doing the dishes, just put on a podcast. That's what I do.
Yeah.
When I'm at home, if I'm doing some housework, I put on a podcast. I only listen to one and then I go back to music. And then maybe an hour later, I'll put on another podcast. But I love it. I love it. And I'm trying to, you know, just get other people out there that support us, give them an opportunity to listen. So
I just love podcasting in general. I love grabbing.
Yeah.
It's a way for me to learn something where I can do something activity absolutely while standing around and learning at the same time.
Absolutely.
So, you know,
like I said, I came into this thinking it was fun and it was great and getting a chance to hang out with you all the time and just share our common interest. And now, you know, it's more than that. Like I love what we're doing. I'm fully behind the causes that we're behind, you know, which is promoting the Valley and
promoting good food.
Yeah. Promoting good food and just wanting to share, you know, it's infectious. You know, we meet all these people that have all this great stuff to share and I just in turn want to share it back, you know?
Exactly.
So, yeah. But yeah, I think,
well, I think we probably nailed it down for this week. Yeah. We're probably stretching it a bit long. So, I guess we'd just like to say thank you to our listeners for listening in.
Yeah.
And, you have a bunch of people lined up.
Yes.
We're going to leave them as a bit of a surprise.
Sure.
But we've got a couple farmers, a couple chefs, butchers.
Well, there's one butcher. A fairly prolific butcher in town. Yeah.
And there's some, maybe a brewery or two that have popped up that we're going to
try
and get them in here to sit down and take a moment to chat with us. So,
you know, maybe we could mention too, really quickly that, you and I are talking about playing with format a bit. At some point we're going to do a test episode, where instead of just sitting down with one person and talking about their place in the local food scene, talking to a group of people about a food topic and just seeing how that plans out. So
I've got all these food ideas.
I know. I'm
looking
forward to
that. All these questions I want to see how people feel about, you know.
Yeah, I want to spark debate. I want to spark conversation. I want to see what a group of people in the room talk about together, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, so it'll be fun. All right. So maybe we'll be, or you can definitely be looking for that. We'll post that everywhere, Facebook, everywhere that we do post all of our information.
It'll be coming soon.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on that note, I would just like to thank you once again for listening to the Edible Valley podcast. Don't forget to send us any of your comments to theediblevalley@gmail.com. And once again, yes, thank you for listening.
Great. And you can check us out, if you're not already, on Podbean. You can find us on Facebook, and you can find us on Twitter, all by just searching Edible Valley.